As part of our sermon series and our focus for the fall on health, mental health, mind, body, and soul, we've been featuring different weeks, different aspects of what it means for us as God's people to think about being healthy with all that God has given us. And I've asked Art Bragman to come. Art, as you come up, I'll just give a little introduction to you. Art works at the Hutchins Psychiatric Center with patients, and I had some time to sit down with Art this week and learn a little bit about his work and learn a little bit about what he does, which I think is pretty unique for us to hear about today. But in focusing today about our bodily health and mental health from a Christian perspective, Art, you work at the Hutchins Centers with patients. Tell us a little bit about your training and education and background and approach as well.
Okay. Well, I work at the outpatient clinic at Hutchins, and that is governed by the rehab department. And under that umbrella of the rehab department is the occupational therapists, the rehab counselors, and also the recreation therapists. Now, I wear both of those hats, so except for the occupational therapist hat. I am a rehab counselor, got my master's from Syracuse University, and I also wear a rec therapy hat as the art therapist. And my name is Art, so it's kind of a neat little pun when I'm working with the patients, and I'm also an artist too, so.
I like how God did that.
Yeah, God, oh, God, and my dad's name is Art too. yeah, so when we meet a client, we usually meet them where they are, and what I mean by that is we use a person-centered approach to their treatment. So they ask us what they want to do, and we look at it as their body is a temple. So we take the holistic approach and allow them to choose from all the groups that we offer what they like to do. And it's really not like a recreation worker, a typical recreation worker. The objective is to have fun. And unfortunately, recreation therapy is not always fun and games in the medical clinic. So we look at each activity with certain objectives and to help treat anxiety, depression, schizophrenia, and some of the other disorders that folks have.
Now, you mentioned to me, and you mentioned us, recreation therapy, and a little bit of what that is in terms of what it looks like. But, perhaps for some people, like you said, it's not all fun and games. Like I heard you talk about how you took a patient to play golf, and I was like, okay, I could do that, no problem. Or you do a basketball league. But in some of your work, why is it important for us to have attention and care for our body as well as our mental health and well-being?
Well, the body is a temple. I truly believe that, and even the doctors believe that. So we look at the mind, the brain, which is struggling, and that with medication regimen, that helps the patient to alleviate some of the symptoms so that they can participate in some of the activities. So we feel that once the brain and the mind is treated, then the body has to follow along, and that's when we implement some of the activities. And I can't legally talk religion at my job. That's what we have the clergy for, but I do weave in some of my beliefs, and I always tell patients that grace, which enables you to do some of the activities, is a two-winged bird. And I say, well, you have to put in some effort, and then grace kicks in with the other wing, and you can soar to some of your goals.
So often, I've used it in just a moment ago, we talk, medical professionals and others talk about wellness, and thinking about wellness, why is that important for us as Christians to think about wellness for not just our souls, but also our body and our minds?
Yeah, it's wellness. I love that word because exercise and dieting have had such a negative connotation, and it's kind of ominous for folks. So wellness is a word we use often. We have Wellness Wednesdays, and what it is about the patient or the individual taking full responsibility for their wellness, and it's very small little changes that you can make. We don't ask you to make these big changes with your diet and with your, you know, exercises. But wellness is really nice because you can make small changes which oftentimes reap huge benefits. And it's often exemplified in our treatment plans. For instance, an outpatient would sign up, they would have a goal, and then every 3 months we revisit the goal, and oftentimes you see the goal has been achieved. And that is a great thing. And then we go on to the second goal. So wellness is what causes all that. And we always remind the patients that, you know, you made this small change and now look at what you've been able to do.
You know, I like that wellness, thinking about small changes, because so often it's like, you know, January 1st is the new year. And it's like, oh, I got to get to the gym and I got to run a marathon and I got to do this 5K and blah, blah, blah. Right. And it's like, you know, you're so overwhelmed. But if we think about making small changes and small goals, we can kind of work our way into that. I like that a lot. Mm. Well, as we kind of close our time here together, what are some resources out there for people who maybe struggle with the physicality of working out or body image, physical activity? What resources are out there for us?
I think about that often. It takes a lot for a person to get out of the house, and we have an outpatient clinic. They need to show up. So there are sometimes people struggling with depression where they can't get out of bed. There's people who are struggling with body dysmorphic disorder where they don't like themselves and the way they look. So for that specific disorder, there is a great nonprofit organization in Liverpool. It's called Ophelia's Place. And it's neat because they have free counseling. They have free workshops for folks. And again, those who are sequestered at home, they don't want to come out of their house. If they have their doctor's approval, I would suggest they go Google or YouTube a yoga practice. And I have just been certified to teach yoga. Thank you to Hutchings, who paid for that program. And I firmly believe that yoga is a quick way just to get started with moving the body. And when you make certain postures and you do the certain breathing techniques, you can alleviate the stress, which keeps you sequestered at home. And then also the meditation, which helps you to control what you just choose to think about. Because the mind can start with negative tapes, and it can go on a roller coaster ride where you are, you know, fearing just the simplest thing. So with those two coupled, I think that can help you get out of the house, just controlling what you think about. Of course, coupling that with prayer. Again, that's what our clergy is there for, but I found that it really helps just to get people out of the house.
Well, Art, it's been such a pleasure to talk with you this week and here. And, you know, Art's a great guy. If you ever have a chance to talk with him, really, really neat. He does great work, has a great story to tell. And Art, thank you for
sharing.
Thank
you very much, Alan.
This morning. Let's give him a round of applause. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Okay. We'll take that.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Welcome.
Okay. All right. I'll see you later. Okay. Thank you. Thank you.
Well, as I mentioned before, this is the fourth week in our series, Healthy Mind, Body, and Spirit. And today we're focusing on what it means for us to take care of our bodies. And in these two scriptures, we read of how God created us, and we go to Genesis chapter 1 as an understanding of God and his story, God's story of how God created us. So I want you to listen how God has created us and has given us everything that we need to thrive in this world. Genesis chapter 1, starting at 26, reading from the Amplified Version. Then God said, "Let us, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, make man in our image, according to our likeness, not physical, but a spiritual personality and moral likeness. And let them have complete authority over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, the cattle, and over the entire earth, and over everything that creeps and crawls on the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image and likeness of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. And God blessed them, granting them certain authority, and said to them, "Be fruitful, multiply, and fill the earth and subjugate it, putting it under your power. and rule over, dominate the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, and every living thing that moves upon the earth. So God said, behold, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is on the surface of the entire earth, and every tree which has fruit yielding seed. It shall be food for you, and to all the animals of the earth, and every bird in the air, and everything that moves on the ground, to everything in which there is the breath of life. I have given every green plant for food. And it was so, because he commanded it. God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And he validated it completely. And there was evening, and there was morning, a sixth day. And then we read 1 Corinthians chapter 6, starting at verse 19, Paul's letter to the church in Corinth, which was really struggling with not only practices of the body, but how they were using their body in the community of faith. And so Paul gives these words to them and to us today. Don't you realize that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, who lives in you and was given to you by God? You do not belong to yourself, for God bought you with a high price. So you must honor God with your body. The word of the Lord. We are, as 21st century Americans, being bombarded by messages about our body. We are told to buy products that will supposedly and magically make all those things about our bodies go away or be reduced. Creams, liquids, pills, even drugs are marketed to us. And added to this American feature are our young people and general population, who all they have to do is pull out their phones and look at their Instagram feed or Facebook or Snapchat to see people hawking all of these products aimed at improving our bodies. And it's a multi-billion dollar industry. And years ago, I realized that I wasn't the skinny, youthful person that I was, and I stepped on a scale and realized that I had to do something about my body and my weight. So I decided to look into diets. And I looked at all the diets there on the internet, and I found some surprising ones. Take, for instance, the cookie diet. You heard of this one? 1975, Dr. Siegel invented a diet where you replace your meals with cookies, and you would eat 6 cookies through the day and a dinner. But the problem was, after 4 or 5 weeks, you realize they didn't taste like cookies at all. Or maybe the lemon and lime diet, where all you drink is lemon juice and lime juice. That's it, no sugar. I think you'd probably need some antacids after that one. My favorite is this last one, the baby food diet, which calls for you to eat 14 jars of baby food throughout the day. And I think after that diet, we probably end up looking like the Gerber baby after that. But everyone is looking for ways to take care of their bodies. Buy this diet, buy this shake, download this app, drink this juice, eat this Impossible Burger. Have you had one of those yet? It's interesting. I didn't know that they're like $13, but they actually taste decent, but maybe not for everyone. But everyone is trying to cash in on trying to change your body. Body care in the ancient world looks very different. See, a lot of our jobs today and out there require us to sit on hours and hours at a time, sedentary. In the ancient world, in the time that Genesis was being read, in the time of 1 Corinthians being read and heard, everything you did involved you moving or walking or carrying something for work. And this was true for children, for men, for women, for everyone. Ancient Jews took this to heart in their faith, in the care of their bodies. In the time of Jesus, there were ritualistic purity codes. You couldn't eat or touch anything unclean. This meant pigs, shellfish, certain birds, insects, certain mammals. And as Paul argued in the book of Hebrews, if you ever have some time to go home, read the book of Hebrews, Paul explains why Christ fulfilled many of these old purity laws from the Old Testament through Christ's life, teaching, and death. Now, for some Christians, there's an enormous attention around the body that sees the body or the flesh as sinful. That for some in Christianity, there's a temptation that everything that the body is tempted with is the flesh or the body's fault. Paul once said that he was given a thorn in his flesh, or his sarx, as it is in the Greek. Sarx, flesh, became a focal point in Christianity with a battle with sin. Paul's famous struggle that he said in Romans chapter 7, verse 19, "For the good that I will to do, I do not do, but for the evil I will not do, that I practice." And there are some in Christian history that have said that our flesh, our sarx, the body, is somehow inherently sinful, wrong, flawed, or gross. And it made me think about years ago, I heard of a teacher who was at home grading science tests that she had given to her elementary school class, and the subject was the human body. And the first paper she graded, the question was, "Name one of the major functions of the skin," to which the first student responded, "To keep people who look at you from throwing up." That's genius, actually, if you think about it. That's one of the skin, major functions of the skin, right? But for us Christians, what if instead of seeing, see, the doctor got it. See, the physicians understand. They get that. I hear them laughing. But what if, for us Christians, what if instead of seeing our bodies as flawed or sinful, that maybe that focuses too much on the wrong side of the body, the flesh, the sarx? If we are made in the image of God, likeness of God, what if instead of the body being inherently wrong or sinful or flawed, what if our bodies are gifts? In the Genesis account that we read today, and if you read the entire account in chapter 1 and 2, we read that after each day of creation, God, after God finished, said, "It was good." And we read in this after the sixth day that after God had created all the things that humanity needs, and all the plants and all the fish and all the mammals and people, God said it was very good. God would not call us as humans in our bodies very good unless our bodies were actually very good. It is Paul who clearly stated that in our scripture from today, that our bodies are temples. Sometimes that passage from 1 Corinthians is paraphrased like this, which I really like. Our bodies are temples for the indwelling of the Spirit of God. Our bodies are temples for the indwelling of the Spirit of God. If we take this passage to heart, then why would God dwell in something inherently flawed or wrong? Why would God create such a broken vessel, flawed and gross, that God would in fact dwell in the form of Jesus? God would not. Hence, our bodies are gifts, temples. And you and I are called to take care of our holy dwellings for God. Last fall, I noticed something strange that was happening to my storage shed on the back edge of my property. And every time I went to my shed to get my lawnmower, my weed whacker, or my rake, or my shovel, all the important things I need to take care of my house and property, I noticed that in the inside of the shed, in the ceiling, the roof, there was this warped, dark, wet spot. And it was very small. But as the weeks went by and as fall went by, I noticed that this part of the interior roof that was dark and wet and rotting was now a 10-foot by 6-foot section. And every passing week, it was getting more and more damaged from the water. So I got out on a ladder, went on the roof, and I saw that where the pitch of the roof changed on my shed, that the shingles were damaged. And I could see as I peered in a little closer that there were shingles on top of shingles that had cracked, as if someone was trying to repair it. And I thought, if I don't do something about this, and I just let this roof go through the winter, the roof, the shed, and all the important things I need to take care of my property, they're just going to get damaged with the snow and the rain and the thawing coming through winter and spring. However, I didn't have a lot of time to get new shingles or felt paper or nails or a nail gun compressor in order to replace the roof. So I did the thing that you never want a neighbor in your neighborhood to do. I just put a tarp over that whole shed. Yeah, I hear the groans, the laughs. Maybe you've done it. Maybe you've seen it before. But maybe you just get in that situation where you don't have time or money to repair your shed roof, so you just go ahead and throw a big blue tarp over that baby, right? And anyone who drives by looks at that and says, man, I can't believe that guy did the laziest thing ever and put a blue tarp on top of that shed roof. That thing will be flapping around and splitting, and it's a huge eyesore. But here's the thing. I knew it was going to be an eyesore. So I got a brown tarp to go on top of the roof. And it matched the color of the shingles perfectly. And I got it nice and tight and nice and perfect and trimmed it and buttoned it up. And it looked so good that after 9 months, my neighbor finally said to me, when did you put a tarp on the roof of your shed? And I said, oh, it was 9 months ago. He couldn't believe it. It looked that good. I found a short-term solution to a long-term problem. However, if I thought that I just fixed a long-term solution with a long-term problem, boy, it'd still be on there and I'd be in trouble. Now, that tarp, we know that tarp, it's not going to last. They'll split and cracks would get worse and the rain would come in. And I'd be in the same situation again. We all run the risk of doing something very similar in our own lives. See, when we come to challenges and hardships and loss and death and grief and conflict and brokenness, we just want to cover that up with a facade. And we want to tarp over our deeper problems and challenges with smiles or I'm fine or new looks or substances, or unhealthy behaviors to try to cover up what's going on inside of us. And throughout this series, we've been exploring how important it is to have attention to our mental health needs and trying to put away those stigmas that are attached to it. And today, as we consider this, and as we've heard from Art, how much mental illness and stress and personal challenges, they take a toll on our bodies. Medical professionals have proven how much stress and mental illness and anxiety and depression present in our bodies. What's going on mentally or personally can result in high blood pressure, mood changes, joint problems, self-harm, sleeplessness, mobility issues, skin changes, heart problems, and sometimes even death. I really like what priest and poet John O'Donohue once wrote, and it's our thought for the day in our bulletin, is this. Your mind can deceive you and put all kinds of barriers between you and your nature, but your body does not lie. Your body tells you, if you attend to it, how your life is, and if you are living from your soul or from the labyrinths of your negativity. The human body is the most complex, refined, and harmonious totality. Your body keeps score. Your body keeps score of what's going on inside you. what's going on with your mental health. It keeps score of your life. And whether you deal with mental health or stress or divorce or depression or anxiety or conflict at work or tension in your family, your body keeps the score. And we can't pretend or cover up what's going on inside of us. We can't just cover things up at some point and says, oh, it'll be okay, because after a while, those facades leak and tear and break. We read in 3 John chapter 2, verse 2, the divine letter writer says, dear friend, I pray that all goes well for you. I hope you are as strong in body as I know you are in spirit. If our bodies are temples for the indwelling of the Spirit of God, which they are, then we must tend to our temples, our bodies. We have to tend to what's going on inside of us, but also what's going on the outside of us. You know, I know that many of you may think I'm still a very young man, and maybe my grays betray me, but I've discovered that as you get older, it's harder and harder to keep care of your temple. There's more to compete with. The body slows down and it becomes harder to tend. But we know we need sleep. Adults and children need sleep to function. Studies show that school children aged 6 to 13 need 9 to 11 hours a night. And younger children need even more than that. Adults, most adults need 7 to 9 hours. I'm more on that 9 hours of sleep a night. Exercise. Studies have shown that even just walking 20 minutes a day provides not only health for our heart, but can release endorphins that improve our mood for up to 12 hours. Regular care through exercise. Diet. God has given us all the things in this creation that we need for us to have a balanced diet, to be able to improve our mood and functioning. In addition to all the mental and physical health benefits of taking care of your temple, there's spiritual benefits as well. We read from St. Paul in his letter to the Romans, chapter 12, verse 1, Paul says to the church in Rome, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in the view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. And here's the kicker. This is your true and proper worship. You ever think about that? When you take care of your body, you worship God. You worship God in the care of your temple. The very gift that God gave to us in Genesis chapter 1, that when we tend to it because it is very good, because it is the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, when we take care of it, we honor God. It's a spiritual benefit. Worship isn't just something we do on Sunday morning or Saturday night here, but it's a daily spiritual activity. So next time you go to the gym and your spouse says, where are you going? You say, oh, going to worship. Oh, that's great. You're going to church. Not exactly. Just don't do that on Sunday morning or Saturday night. That's important too. As we conclude our installment in this series, I know what you all are wondering. Did he ever permanently fix that roof he was talking about? The answer is yes, I did permanently fix it. The tarp came off, the shingles came off, everything came off, repair it. And I started doing it by myself, and I thought, man, I can knock this baby out in 2 days, no problem. Well, it always takes 3 times as long than you think to do something. And it was difficult. And due to the change in the pitch of the roof, I had ladders, and I could just nail in one shingle, and I had to move the ladder and go up and nail another shingle. It just took forever, and I was ready to give up. So I did the only thing that I could do that I had left in my bag of options. I asked for help. Amen. There you go. My son Rowan, help me finish. And without him, I don't know how long it would have taken. I don't know what have went first, my temper or the nail gun. But this is my final word to you, that if you're having trouble taking care of your temple, ask for help. Your doctor, your trainer, family member, spouse, trusted friend. That you can't do this body temple care on your own. You're gonna need help. All of us need help. Helping to stay accountable, helping to stay active, to stay rested, to stay healthy. Riding a bike, taking a walk, eating well with someone else. That's why in Genesis chapter 1, God created us not to be alone, but gave us partners in this duty. Keeping your temple alive and well is not something we're meant to do alone. We do it together. You are not alone in this temple care. Our bodies belong to God. And as members who make up the body of Christ, we belong to one another. So let us encourage and help and care for one another, our families, our friends, our congregants, in the care of our bodies. May you this week see that your care of your body, your temple, is worship that honors God, that bestows not only physical, mental, but spiritual benefits. May you know that you are not alone in this. God is with you, and others are here with you today. Let us pray. God, we confess that so often we know it's so hard to take care of our bodies. You know, God, we're so busy with work or family or commitments, things at church, all very good things, getting our kids from one place to another, our grandkids, that God, sometimes it's just the last thing that we care about. But God, help us see how important it is that we make it part of our regular pattern of our life to eat well and sleep well and to be active. God, help us to see that we reap benefits in our mental health and physical health, but also in our spiritual health. Bless us this week so that we may be active and thriving, so that we can be our best selves, the selves that you've created us to be. Help us in this challenge. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.